Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
That were only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in. There's so much going on in the world. The thing that happened, the horrible thing that happened yesterday and over, well, just period, things that have been reoccurring and happening. And so before we get started, I just wanted to quickly say that I wanted to send my heart and my prayers goes out to the families affected by the Boston Marathon bombings yesterday. We cannot allow the enemy, which is bullies, which is a topic we've been talking about. We can't allow bullies to create a loss of hope and fear in our hearts that, you know, that makes us feel afraid of dying, and it and to the point that it prevents us from living. So I just wanted to say that. And while we're speaking about bullying, over the past several shows, we've been talking about bullying as a part of the Enough campaign. And for more information about the campaign, please take a moment to visit facebook.com/esilentvoice and also listen to the series on demand at blogtalkradio.com/YPierre. Today's episode is part 6 of the Enough series, and we'll be discussing preventing the victim's mentality. And our special guest, Annette Dubois, Annette Dubois has firsthand experience of being bullied and has a passion for helping people of all ages achieve their best. Annette has spent more than 12 years studying and practicing different ways of overcoming personal barriers and limiting beliefs to realign her thoughts, feelings, and emotions. She studied with some of the great masters on subjects such as language patterns and peak performance psychology. This has provided her with the ability to motivate, inspire, and assist both children and adults, offering practical assistance and support for their different roles, for her different roles as a personal trainer, holistic fitness national presenter, kid boxing, which I love that, kid boxing, it's kids kickboxing, martial arts leader, and the bully coach system. In addition, Annette is also a speaker, an author, and founder of Champs Academy, and she's calling in from the UK. Welcome, Annette.
Hi, Yvonne, and thanks for inviting me on.
Thank you so much for joining us. As I mentioned in the introduction, your academy is called Champs. Could you let us know what that stands for and what inspired you to launch Champs Academy?
Yes, yeah, certainly. CHAMPS is an acronym that stands for Confidence, Health, Achievement, Motivation, Personality, and Safety. And it's the ultimate program to give children and young people proactive solutions to overcome their life challenges, including bullying, peer pressure, social conformity, negative body issues, and to help them better cope with the daily pressures and stresses of the 21st century. Champs Academy has been the accumulation of my life experiences and my passion to want to help young people. I feel that a child demoralised by an early experience is more likely to mature into an adult with very limiting beliefs. And it kind of reminds me of a story of, you may have heard of it, How a Twig Stops an Elephant. The story goes, a young elephant living in captivity is tied to a tree with a strong rope or a chain. Instinctively, it tries everything to break free, but it isn't strong enough and finally gives up struggling. When the elephant is fully grown, it will be tied to a small tree with a thin rope. It could simply free itself, but its mind has been conditioned. The huge elephant carries the limitations of the past. And that's what so often happens with children that then grow up with all these past experiences and these labels, but actually don't grow up to be able to mature into everything that they perhaps once dreamed that they could. That's really what CHAMPS helps to helps them with in order to help them achieve their best.
Wow. I read that story a while back, and I was it really is thought-provoking because it, an elephant can really do some damage. But because of the fear that is instilled in it, you know, just the idea of breaking free terrifies them. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Looking back on your experience as a child being bullied, how have bullying, initially, how did it impact your life?
Right. Looking back, the actual bullying experience, whilst devastating at the time, wasn't actually as bad as the many years that came after the experience, which affected me the most. So initially going through the bullying, obviously it was a very lonely time. It was devastating and everything else. But the bullying I experienced was emotional and relational. So it was a type that you couldn't really explain or, you know, put your finger on, or perhaps that I couldn't necessarily communicate to my parents and, you know, my family. It was the kind of thing that I had a class of friends one minute and then nobody would speak to me the next. There was whispers and note passing and repeating things that I started to believe were true. And it was a very lonely time. And despite having other friends in different circles, in my head, I thought everyone was against me, which I carried on years later and found it very hard to make and trust friends. My only true friend actually for years was the horse I shared with my sister. So it wasn't necessarily a human, my friend, for years, but an animal which I could put my trust in.
Wow. How did you get to the point to turn it all around where it worked for you instead of against you?
Yeah, sure. It wasn't really until my late teens, I would say, but I realized I was kind of drifting. You know, I was at college but not really happy with my subject. And I guess the pinnacle moment really was when my horse had to be put down after a serious leg injury. And I know there are a lot more terrible griefs that happen every day. You mentioned earlier about the horrendous Boston bombing yesterday.
Yeah.
But then that day to me, I lost my dearest friend, and that was just a devastating moment for me at such an influential time of my life. The grief for me was so overwhelming that it wasn't just that moment, I realized. It was all the moments of hurt and anger and locked-up emotion from years past that kind of all came out at that same time. And I guess it made me ask a few deeper questions. And I was, to be honest, I was sick and tired of being a victim, of feeling like seeking the acceptance of others, like they ruled my life, you know. And really, there's no greater power than having your own power rather than putting the power into somebody else. So I kind of started looking into personal development. Perhaps, you know, maybe a lot of your audience might have done the same. And I picked up a very famous and classic book, Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. I'm sure many have read it, and I know it's been the turning point for thousands of people, and me too. So I realized the mind is a perhaps very powerful thing, and it wasn't my bullying that continued to impact my life. It was actually what I carried in my mind that had control over me. And since then, I've been on a much better path ever since, including, you know, yoga, tai chi, eating for wellness, just great personal empowerment that I can then be able to pass on to children and young people.
Wow. Tell us about your bullying coach system and how have it made an impact.
Sure. I originally trained with my husband on his Foxhall self-defense program for adults. And actually going through the program, I realized there was so much preventative material that could benefit children. So really with his help, I developed the Bully Coach System, which is a preventative anti-bullying program for children and young people, including kind of a awareness of space, learning assertiveness skills, and emotional control such as fear and anger. Which a lot of things don't, you know, a lot of children don't actually know how to deal with their emotions in that way. And it comes out in all sorts of ways, whether, you know, internally or expressing the out, you know, outward. So all the things to prevent escalating to a physical attack was part of the Bully Coach System. So I taught children how to defend themselves from the classic intimidation attacks, such as pint or wall, a collar grab, or perhaps being grabbed around the throat. And it had a real impact. I taught this in schools, after-school workshops, and in private coaching as well. But one of the real successes that I found was working with children with mild autism, as it actually improved, the whole program improved their social skills, their emotional understanding, and really the ability to communicate better with people. And through a natural progression, I further developed the program to what's now the Champs Academy, which encompasses everything together.
Now, you touched on communication. How does communication play a role in bullying?
There's actually two main roles. It plays a huge role, but there's actually two main ways. First is perhaps what we all recognize as the external. So what we say to others can make a real difference between resolution and escalation. So whether the actual situation gets resolved or whether it escalates to something worse. Often through immaturity, you know, in their communication, children are quick to react and retaliate in certain situations, which can quickly spiral out of control. So teaching children to pause and ask themselves, you know, what is the safest thing I can say to stop the situation getting worse can actually make a big difference. And this may actually seem quite advanced, but with practice and parental support, it's something that kids pick up and use quickly and can be really beneficial for helping it to actually get resolved rather than escalate into something worse. And the second way is internal. In other words, we all hear voices in our heads, but it's actually what we say to ourselves that's actually more important than what others try and make us believe.
Yeah.
Another person's opinion, for example, should never be more important than our own. But if our own thoughts are mostly negative and demotivating, you know, the kind of stuff that generally goes around all of our heads, then we're actually doing the damage to ourselves. And that's where, you know, communication, both external and internal, is so important in dealing with bullying.
So how do we prevent the victim mentality, first in ourselves and then in our children?
Yeah, so just as we put a seatbelt on in a vehicle, for example, when we're traveling somewhere, or we wear a head protector on a bicycle or a scooter or a motorbike or even a horse. So often we switch our mind protector on. So for adults, making a conscious effort to create the most positive environment every day to question thoughts and feelings and emotions and to take action to change them, the more we become aware of how we feel, the easier it is to ask the question to ourselves, how can we actually change how we feel and what we think about? And for children, it's always communicate with them, being realistic that not everyone, you know, we don't live in a perfect world and not everyone is always nice, but what counts the most is what we think and feel about ourselves. And just as we exercise and play sports to strengthen our muscles and improve our skills, we really must work hard to strengthen our mind. So, making a daily commitment for positive affirmations, which are nothing more than sayings, positive sayings, which can be really powerful. And actually, the more you repeat them, the stronger and more natural it becomes. And I've got a small exercise. It will be a really quick exercise. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
But I wondered if you'd, clasp your hands together just in front of you, wherever you are, and just so that your thumbs are overlapping. And it doesn't matter which thumb's on top. So you may find that your left thumb's on top or your right thumb's on top. It doesn't matter. That's just your natural way of doing things. But what I'd like you to do is actually swap your thumbs over and notice how it feels.
Awkward.
Yeah, exactly. Awkward. So what I'd like you to do is swap them over 21 times. So I just want you to move from left to right 21 times. And not losing count. And then when you've gone to 21, I want you to go to your first way, which is your more natural way, and then go to the other way and tell me now how that feels.
You said turn myself?
Go to the first way, the natural way.
Okay.
And then go to the second way and tell me how that feels.
They feel awkward too.
Does it? Yeah. Usually what happens is that it starts to feel a little bit more comfortable. So actually, the more that you do something and saying positive affirmations, you know, every day might to start with feel awkward or uncomfortable or a bit weird. But actually, the more you do something, the more comfortable it becomes. So the more you overlap your thumbs, the less awkward that second way will become. And the same is true with creating any kind of habit.
Yeah, I just did it again, and it was more comfortable.
And it's just creating a habit. You know, the more you do something, the more comfortable it becomes. So, you know, sort of a couple of examples for children for positive affirmations could be, "I am me. I do not try to be like someone else." And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, is that when I was younger, I was looking for acceptance from other people. And therefore, I was trying to be like them rather than trying to be myself. Or another one, "I do not give up, I keep trying." Or, "I have courage, I am strong." All those for children, they might find it a bit awkward and a bit uncomfortable to say every day. But the more they do it, the more comfortable it will become. And the more they'll believe it as well and become stronger and more confident every day.
Yeah, and that's something that the parents can also do with their kids in case they're struggling with or having an issue with their self-confidence as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
What tips and advice can we do to what tips can you share with us how we can help our children, whether they have special needs or not, as far as building social skills?
Sure. When I worked with children with mild autism, for example, I realized that their listening skills weren't particularly strong. So, and that's for children of any ability. Children have so many distractions, particularly now in the 21st century, so many different distractions from TV to games to social media sometimes, depending on the age of them. Is that actually their active listening skills are not great. So one of a great tip is to practice listening skills, and that can be just simple things that, you know, parents can give their children a list of things, such as, you know, a list of items in their kitchen or a list of ingredients to make a cake or anything really fun and simple. They've got to then try and listen as hard as they can and then try and recite it back. It's a really, really good technique, really fun, simple, but it's a great way that they can start honing their listening skills. Another one is connecting with the personal group. So in a group environment, whether that's in the classroom or perhaps a sports group, is trying to align with the group or that person so that they start building a rapport. And that's something that children don't necessarily know how to do. You know, rapport is very sort of adult, and when you say, you know exactly what it is, but for a child it's very different. So, you know, trying to connect with them in the different subject or, you know, relate to them, such as a mutual interest. so perhaps a game or a TV program or a pop group or something. So it really helps to align and build rapport with whoever they're speaking with, whether that's another child, an adult, or a group of people. Another one is conversation. The art of conversation, I have to say, is declining, really, because of technology.
Yeah.
And also the changing landscape of family. You know, when I was growing up, it was very much, you know, I suppose this might be a more traditional thing in the UK, I'm not sure, but on a Sunday afternoon or evening, you know, we would all sit around the table having a family meal, and we would talk. But, you know, with all things going on now and changing lifestyles, that doesn't necessarily happen. There's not necessarily so much family time that people just talk without being distracted by technology and other things. So I would always advise to take time every day to have family conversations, whether that's meal time or family time, sometime when you're all acting together, so that children learn how to talk and also to listen to others and to engage with them as much as possible. Another great tip, smile. It's really, really simple. But so many people don't smile these days when they're either communicating or trying to deal with others. And it just makes a real instant difference. I don't know about you, but when someone smiles at me, I just can't help but smile back. It's just one of those infectious things. And, you know, it can actually speak many words. And that also comes on to body language. You know, children, when they're growing up, they feel perhaps awkward about their body language or about their bodies, you know, particularly as their bodies start to change. So actually, their crossed arms could be a miscommunication to somebody else where that child is perhaps feeling self-conscious about their body. So unconsciously, they're crossing their arms to try and hide their parts of their body. But actually, somebody looking on might see that as a bored or a fed up or a can't be bothered type thing. So, you know, teaching children about body language and, you know, what it actually speaks and how it actually can be misinterpreted by others is really important.
Yeah, those are some really, really great tips. And one of the things that I wanted to point out, too, like my son has Down syndrome. And one of the concerns that a lot of special needs parents have is, well, we just signed him up with, got him in karate. He just started last week, and he's really, really been doing well. But I like the points that you bring up as far as technology, as far as the way we communicate has been changing due to technology and video games and all that, and whether the child has special needs or not, it's a disconnect if they're constantly watching TV or playing video games, and there's a disconnect as far as how to communicate with people versus technology. So I'm really, really glad you brought those tips up. And were you finna give another tip?
Yeah, there was just one other thing, actually, that for parents to and guardians to reassure children that it's actually okay to end the conversation quickly if things don't feel right. You know, sometimes where perhaps there's a mockery or a sarcasm in the tone. You know, children don't necessarily recognize tone as much, or if they feel uncomfortable for any reason. But I think, you know, when you teach your children how to be polite and everything, I think sometimes they feel that it's rude then to be able to end the conversation quickly and therefore could perhaps be positioning themselves in an unsafe environment for any reason. So actually, sometimes as a parent, it's okay to reassure the child that it's okay to end the conversation quickly, and something like, you know, looking at the watch, oh, is that the time I've got to go, or, you know, any kind of sort of pleasant excuse that gets them out of that environment would be another good tip.
Yeah, and that's a good tip for adults too, and to instill it in them at a very young age will become habit as they become adults. And I know a few adults, and I've admit, you know, well, I'll admit, you know, years ago that was a issue for me too, as far as ending the conversation quickly, because there was a type of guilt or something I felt as if I was being rude, even if it was an uncomfortable conversation. So that was something I had to learn as an adult. So I like, I love the fact that you're saying that's something that we have to instill in our kids, and getting involved and getting them in groups and getting them more socialized to build up their social skills, whether they have special needs or not.
Yeah.
So what are some tips on building self-confidence?
One of the great ways is actually a posture and holding yourself. You know, you can almost tell a victim waiting to happen by the way they hold themselves. You'll probably see them walking down the street, whether that's an adult or a child, their shoulders are round. They just have this particular posture that gives out the essence of weakness, and therefore they're more likely to be picked on or to be teased or to be bullied. They're an easy target. So one of the simplest ways is to lift up the shoulders, to walk up straight and swing the arms when they walk. And it might seem, you know, you can practice this at home behind closed doors, and it's a great fun way that children can get involved. But really swing the arms. It just gives the essence of power. It empowers them to feel that although they don't necessarily feel it inside, that actually they're giving out the impression that they are confident and they feel great. And it can make a huge difference. They're really small changes, some of these tips that I'm giving. Another one is to breathe right, you know. A lot of people breathe from their upper chest and their shoulders, which then prevents the oxygen going into their brain, which then prevents clarity of thinking. So if they're in a situation, like we talked about just a moment ago, about sort of ending the conversation, if the breathing is really quick and shallow, then you're not necessarily thinking in a forward thinking as to how you can sort of get out of the situation, whatever that might be. So actually bringing the breath down into the abdomen or just below the belly button.
Wow. So calming themselves. Hello? Annette, did I lose you? Okay, so those were some really, really great tips. And what I'm going to do, if she doesn't come back in shortly, then I'm going to have her on the show at another time, too, so we can go over some other tips and to have a deeper discussion about this. But everything she said was really, really great and informative. And I thank her, if she can hear me. Thank you so much for being on the show. And the name of her company is Champs Academy, and you can look her up online. And her name is Annette Dubois, and that's Annette Dubois is how it's spelled. And I want to thank her again for being on the show. And thank you for tuning in. We was about to wrap up the end of the show anyway. I'm not sure what happened, how we lost her. But it was a pleasure having her on the show, and thank her. And I thank her so much for making a difference and all the things that she do to make a difference in the lives of children, whether they have special needs or not. And I want to thank you for tuning in. And next Tuesday, which is April 23rd at 2 p.m. Eastern, please tune in for the last part of the Enough series, which is part 7, Preventing Bullying with Charmaine Hammond. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Please check out our the Enough series and on blogtalkradio.com/YPierre, and also check out, go to our Facebook page for the campaign, which is esilentvoices.com. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
I was meant to fly.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today.
It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.